That wouldn't have been cool. I still believe. You know, and I guess that that's something that we say, but do we really mean it? We might say we mean it, but do we act like it? Do we really, really act like we still believe? Writer of the Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Well, by pure definition, then, faith would be a risk. And when I think of risk, and when I think of risks that people have, when I think of and have been thinking about and praying for Brad and Missy and the risk they're looking at and wondering if it's the right thing or whatever, I can't help but think about, our own area here, the Detroit area. I can't help but think of the risks that were taken throughout the history. You know, Detroit and the surrounding area has been filled with entrepreneurs who revolutionized industry. The auto industry is the most thought of and looked at when the city of Detroit is mentioned, even still today, even in its decline. There are men and women who risked their fortunes and their reputations and even their lives to bring about dramatic change to the way of life in Detroit and the way of life around the world. Names like Henry Ford, Ransom Olds, William Durant, Walter P. Chrysler, and Henry Leland, just to name a few, from the roots of the auto industry in the late 1800s, early 1900s. My grandfather used to tell me about working for the old man, and he was talking about Henry Ford, the Henry Ford. He explained to me that he came to Detroit, he moved with his new wife from Salt Lake City to Detroit so that he could be paid by Ford Motor Company $5 a day, which at that time was two times what minimum wage was. And I remember him telling me that the old man was a tough cookie to work for, but he was fair. He had integrity, he was honest. And for all those years that my grandfather worked for the old man, when he was at Ford, and that the risks that these men took, the innovation and the change that has occurred as a result of them stepping out in faith, so to speak, stepping out and doing something risky, made a difference and continues to make a difference today and an impact here in Detroit and around the world. And it continues to make an impact in how production is run in any production facility to this very day. The whole assembly line process, just-in-time production, everything is all related and goes back to those roots. And yet, as I think of the risks that they take, as I think of the risks that we all have in our lives, those of us who claim faith and say that we know and we accept and we trust that Jesus died for us and that we know what that means and that we've embraced it and we're trying to the best of our ability to live it out, we're being called to follow the example of Jesus. And I don't think that there's ever been a place or a time in history that is as amazing as right now to be a follower of Jesus. No time in history, especially here in the United States, has the movement of Christianity in America been so sad as right now. We in America so take our faith for granted. We right here at Discover Church so take our faith for granted. And yet God is calling us to do something much bigger than ourselves. We're called to follow that example of Jesus. We're not only called to follow the example, but to follow his lead in our lives. Because it's one thing to know and embrace and accept and receive and to believe and confess what he did for us. And to worship and sing the songs. It's one thing to know and to do that. But it's another thing to live it out and let it impact me after I leave here. To live it out and let it impact me how I interact with my spouse and my kids and with my employer. And I interact with my neighbors and those that I like and those I don't get along with. And yet, I know for myself that I don't always follow the lead of Jesus in my life. This is one thing I always told myself, that I was never, ever going to stand up here, sit up here, whatever, and lie to people. And if you know me, I'm kind of a cut to the chase kind of a guy, and I'll tell you the way it is, and sometimes it don't sound pretty. But I don't always do that. I don't always follow Jesus' lead in my life. And I tend to choose the things that can be convenient and comfortable for me instead of choosing what God wants me to do. How messed up and sick and twisted is that? I mean, if I were to honestly follow God's lead, I would risk a whole lot more for the cause of Christ. And as I look back on my life, I see times and I see eras of time where I did exactly that. Took the risks as I felt that God was telling me to take and do those things that I felt that God was telling me to do. And to just not worry about what might happen, but know that if God was leading me, even if it fell to the ground in total and utter failure, it was okay. You know? And yet now it's so easy to play it safe. It's so easy to play it safe. I mean, what could I possibly lose if I follow God's direction for me? What could you possibly lose if you follow God's direction for you? What could Discover Church possibly lose if we follow God's direction for us? In a short answer, everything. Everything. God wants you and I to lose everything. Because in it, maybe we'll lose ourselves. Maybe we'll lose our self-centeredness and our self-focus. Our self-focus. And it all started, and it all starts, the moment we come to know Christ as our forgiver and our leader, as our Savior, as our Lord. But we've forgotten that. And we've gotten comfortable. As a matter of fact, Kevin said last week that we have domesticated our faith, making it something that fits us real good and real nice and real comfortable and real convenient, instead of something that challenges us, instead of hearing the voice of God through the Spirit of God and acting on it in a God-honoring manner. I mean, look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9. He says, if any of you wants to be my follower, You must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find true life. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Denial or self-denial is something that we don't do too well. Because we can go to Burger King and have it our way, and we've been able to do that for many years. And we can go somewhere else and get it our way, and if not, if we yell loud enough, we can have it our way. And maybe even get the meal free. But deny ourselves and take up our cross, the cross that God gives us. I think we have the mistaken notion that God owes us a blessing. He doesn't. You know what he owes us? Hell. That's, if we get what we deserve, that's what I deserve. And I'm clear about that. I understand that. And I'm also very clear that that's not what I want. And I'm thankful that God offers us a different plan of action, a different way through his son Jesus. You know? And so yet what Jesus is saying here is that we need to forget about what we want to do, and we need to follow what God wants us to do. Without question. That's painful. Absolutely right. That's painful. I hate that. Because I got lots of questions. Forget about what we want to do at Discover Church. But follow God's purpose for Discover Church. And I got to be honest, it's not always easy and it's not always pleasant. But God offers us true life. If we do that. Complete life. Full life. If we'll do that. And so the question is, will you do it? Saying that we'll follow God is one thing. Following through on what God wants us to do is something totally different. It really is. Erwin McManus, he's the pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles. He said this, Jesus did not suffer and die so that we could build for ourselves havens, but so that we might expand the kingdom of his love. And that's really important for church leaders, pastors, so that we don't get to a point that we do what? That we grow a huge church and it's like, oh, look at how wonderful I am. Welcome to my kingdom. And there's lots that do that. Kevin's limping because he used to do that and I broke his foot. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Expanding the kingdom of God is the only reason that we're still here after coming to faith in Jesus. And if you and I are going to follow through on what God wants us to become, then we have to follow his lead. We've got to follow the leader. Stop trying to lead or be the leader. Now, what I don't mean is that now we'll have no leaders in the church or anything like that, but meaning lead with our agenda and our purpose instead of God's agenda and God's purpose. You know, if you and I are really gonna follow through on what God wants us to do and to become, then we've got to follow that lead of his. We have to recognize that God still takes risks today. That Jesus was the ultimate risk taker. If you read his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read about him throughout the rest of the New Testament, you see that he took risks. And following God requires that we take risks. Because it's never a sure thing. And that's really what the purpose of this series is that we started last week. To help us take a look at what God's challenging us to do as people and as a church body. and to consider the risk and to follow God's direction for us. That's what this is about. Being a follower of Jesus is risky business. And so today, let's just take a look at some of the risks that Jesus took. And the first risk that I see that Jesus took was that he challenged current thinking. Jesus challenged the current thinking of his day, especially as it related to God and the kingdom of God and what that all meant. Because in Jesus' day, the picture or thoughts about God was that God was a very harsh taskmaster. And in order to please him, you had to do exactly everything written and be very strict about following Mosaic law and the established customs and traditions of their day. And I have to say that that mindset created in people who really wanted to follow God, created incredible feelings of guilt and inadequacy, and made them fearful of God instead of in awe of God. And so Jesus challenges their thinking when he says this in Matthew 5. You've heard that the law of Moses says, don't commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And what I think's amazing about that was that the whole law was based upon, and what they were practicing and what they were telling them was based upon what you did. And what Jesus was saying is, it goes beyond what you do. It goes to what you think. It goes to what you see. To what you speak. So how are you doing now? Ouch. Not so good. And this example of Jesus continued into the new contract that he offers you and I. That contract being one of not guilt and bondage, but of love and forgiveness and freedom. And that contract is offered to you and I freely through his death and through his resurrection. And if we, as a church body, are going to make a difference here in Macomb County, there's got to be a different way of doing what we do. Because it isn't working the way God intended it. It isn't producing people who are connecting other people to Jesus. So let's take a risk. Let's do something risky with our faith. Let's do something risky with what God's given us. And let's follow Jesus' lead. I think we have to challenge our current thinking of our day. I think we have to challenge what we've been about and what we see that we're about. So Jesus took a risk by challenging the thought of his day. The second risk that Jesus took was that he showed the big picture. It's kind of like, if you've ever seen that commercial on television, I think it's for Circuit City or whatever, and all these people are kind of sitting around watching a football game on a television that's about this big. And then as they're sitting there, you see this arrow come in and move the stuff out of the way and then stretch the screen and put it up on the wall. Kind of showed them a little bit of the bigger picture. You know, they're trying to sell big screen TVs is what they're trying to do at Circuit City. But Jesus had a way of doing that, of moving things out of the way and opening people's eyes to the bigger picture of what was around him and what was going on. He helped people to see a little bit of the bigger picture. He helped them to see beyond themselves and their immediate situations, their immediate circumstances, or immediate needs. You know, Jesus' followers, even after his resurrections, didn't understand his plans. You know, they wanted to know, when are you going to finally restore Israel? They're still thinking nation state. They're not understanding heart, people. And Jesus says this in Acts chapter 1. In one of these meetings, he was eating a meal with them. He told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I told you about this before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, are you going to free Israel now and restore our kingdom?" "The Father sets those dates," he replied, "and they're not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come on you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What's amazing to me is human nature. As I read that scripture, even as I was reading it again, I look at those people and see how silly they were and what they were doing. And there's a side of me that says, "You're dumb as dirt. Wake up." But then there's another side of me that says, "I'm just as dumb, if not worse. Because I know the truth, and I still don't always follow it." You see, Jesus was trying to teach here, and he's trying to remind you and I, even today, that the kingdom of God is not some distant dream that we're going to get into when we die, but that the kingdom of God could be lived in right now. Today. We don't have to wait to die. We can live in the kingdom today. And it's a place where they could feel safe and secure, even when their oppressors are shouting and shaking their fists at them. And the same is true for you and I. You see, the reminder is that God's kingdom is here now and we can live in it. God didn't abandon us. God is not abandoning Southeast Michigan. But he offers the opportunity for you and I, as followers of Jesus, to bring God's kingdom to Southeast Michigan. To bring hope to Southeast Michigan. To bring God's power to Southeast Michigan. To bring God's love and forgiveness and healing and hope and passion and restoration to Southeast Michigan. And if we're not experiencing God's kingdom, then I believe it, the biggest reason is because we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not being those willing vessels for God to use us to bring his and take his kingdom to other people. And by engaging people in our life that we know that are disconnected from God, by engaging those people that God brings across our path every single day, with that offer of God's love and his power and strength and forgiveness. You see, the picture is big here in Southeast Michigan. And we have an opportunity to rise up and be the church. But it's going to require risk on our half, on our part. And Jesus took risks. He challenged the current way of thinking. He showed the big picture. And the third risk that Jesus took was that he added value. Now, how is adding value a risk? You know, he looked around and he looked at life around him. And he saw ways that he could show God's love to those people. Yes, he was God in the flesh. But because he was in the flesh, he couldn't be everywhere like his father was. So when he was in Galilee, he was in Galilee. When he was in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem. Today he's here. But not only is he here, he's over there and everywhere. He's with Kathy right now in her hospital room. And he's sitting right next to you. So give him a little room, will you? And I don't mean by moving over. Give him a little room in your heart, will you? See, Jesus brought eternal value to ordinary human life. And that's what adding value to life is. That's the risk that we have to learn how to take. Is how can we bring eternal value to normal, ordinary human life here in Macomb County? To the woman at the well. The woman that Jesus met at that well. That Samaritan woman who endured social exile and who lived in immorality. Jesus offered her living water. And he generously poured it into her lap and into her life. Without any thought or without any change from her right that moment. Jesus said this, if you only knew the gift God has for you. He said this to the woman. And who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water. To those who were blind, Jesus added sight. To Zacchaeus, the corrupt tax collector, Jesus added real wealth. To Lazarus, Jesus' close friend who died, Jesus added days to his life. And so we can learn from Jesus that a risking faith can bring God's kingdom and God's plan and God's purposes to our lives and to the lives of those that we come in contact with and reach out to. Jesus' example reminds us to step out and take risks of faith and follow him. Not just to sit in here where it's warm and cozy and nice, but to break out of the walls. You see, what I'd like to recommend for our understanding and collective working through in our own minds is that what we're doing here right now isn't church. This is a planning session for what the church is going to do. You know? That's going to cause some weird thinking. You're going, wait a second. Wait a minute. We need to be the church. We need to take this faith that God gives us and risk it and follow him. And I believe that Jesus is challenging us to do something. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. Just as we said this morning. He wants us to do something to reach into our community. Instead of stepping back and standing back as judgmental people that most people see Christians as, I'm tired of that label. I reject that label. But we need to be arms open, love big, hearts filled, hands full of just reaching out and pouring into people's lives. I believe that's who we are. I believe that's who God has created us to be. And I believe that God's not calling us to practice religion, but to challenge our current thought of what we're doing and what a relationship to God really is and what the church really does. He's calling us to look at the big picture, to stop being so narrow and myopic, but to look at the big picture. And to see who and how we might be able to reach out to people with the message, the love and the hope and the forgiveness and the peace and the restoration that God offers and the freedom that he brings. And he's challenging us to add value to the lives of broken people in Southeast Michigan who have been laid off, who are underemployed, who are homeless, who are hurting, who are depressed, who have all these things going on. And we need to find ways to engage and to intersect the hearts and lives of people right here in our communities, right here in our neighborhoods. Right here in our county. That's the risky business of following Jesus, I believe. And I'll tell you something. I cannot and will not be part of a church that won't take risks for Jesus. And the pastors and the leaders here at Discover Church believe that God is challenging us to take some risks this year and to do some things that are outside of the box when it comes to thinking, outside of the box when it comes to ministry, outside of the box when it comes to reaching out. And we started that on Christmas Eve with the Christmas tale. That's just the beginning, I believe. And we have to follow what God is challenging us to follow. If not, let's just pack it in and have a brawl out in the parking lot and have a blast. I'll bring the beer. You know, he's challenging us to follow, to continue to reach out and connect people who are disconnected, connect people who are hurting, connect people who are so in need and in pain that need hope and help and a handshake and a hug. And we have to engage in ever-changing and ongoing ways a community to the understanding and the realization of how much God does love them. Because if we don't do it, chances are it's not going to happen. Because the statistics are terrible on the American church the last 45 years. The population has increased. The attendance has decreased in Christian churches. And it's amazing the impact. Well, the question comes down to, are we going to? Are we really going to do this? Are we really going to follow our leader? Are we going to give it lip service? Will we do it? Will we follow what God wants us to do? Will we step out and do the very things that he's asking us to do? I know that your leaders and here are committed to doing things this year different. Jump on board with us as we seek to take the risks that we see God putting out before us, risks to reach our community and our county for Christ. We follow what God wants you to do. That's really the question that I want to leave you just to ponder and think on is, will you follow that? And I'll tell you what. Yesterday afternoon, I received an in care of email. It was written to everybody here. But Jeff and Kevin and Anita and Mike and Mary Sue, the board, the elders, and the Discover Church family. This is from Andy and Autumn and the guys. I'll have a full copy of it out there so that you can read it at your leisure and that kind of stuff. But there's just a couple of things that I'll tell you what. This family risked it. You know? They're in China right now is it hard? Absolutely, it's hard. But he says this, things are getting off to a good start thanks to our friends in Utica. You know, Autumn says this, I miss you guys. Annie says this, I miss you guys, miss the Discover Church family and teens, and actually miss the routine of work, believe it or not. And then Autumn just talks about, you know, we're doing super well, everyone except the family computer and Bear. Bear, I guess, is one of their smallest ones. Little thing got lost in China somewhere. And there's kind of a funny story about that and what goes on. But he continues talking about, he says, tomorrow, this is Andy now, tomorrow I go to my tutor. He's fantastic. Not only is he a great teacher, he is becoming a good friend. He's my age and has been tutoring for 8 years or so. We have sessions 3 days a week for 2 hours. It's quite challenging, but with his help, I actually think I can do this. Last weekend, I went to town an hour south of here. Me and two other friends had a terrific time with some folks in that place. We were able to play music, share some God stories, and build some friendships. They were so grateful we came. These precious folks are in a difficult place and endure lots of opposition. I'm looking forward to going back with Autumn next month to do a workshop on building a strong marriage. And then they just say, we thank you very much for your investment in us. We really see you as co-laborers and partners in this work. Your prayers and financial blessing is what enables us to keep going here. Sorry the letter didn't come sooner, but both of our computers crashed when we got here. Love from all of us, Andy, Autumn, and the kids. So I'll tell you what, I'm inspired by my conversations with Andy. I'm inspired by when I read stuff like that, when I read, you know, the emails that we have going back and forth and that kind of stuff. I'm inspired by the risks that they're taking. We're not going to China here. They're already there. So, okay, we'll keep praying for them and loving on them, supporting them, and send teams over, you know, as we can do that. But we need to take the risk that God's putting before us. Jesus was the ultimate risk taker. And he died so that we might live, so that we can take risks for him. And that he might live through us to reach those around us with his message of love and grace and hope and mercy and forgiveness and peace and restoration, and healing and freedom. And so, will you? Will you do it? Let's pray. Father, we appreciate you so much and your example to us. We appreciate the fact that you love us in spite of the fact that we don't always show that love. And we appreciate the fact, God, that the risk that you've taken for us. We ask, God, that you give us the courage to be able to take the risks of faith that you're calling us to as Discover Church, as individual people, the risk to love people that might not love us back, the risk to share with people, the risk to do things differently. And God, I just ask that you inspire us to follow the example of Jesus, continue to challenge our way of thinking of how and what a relationship with you is and how and what a church does and acts. And God, that you give us the courage to see the bigger picture, that you inspire us through the power of your Spirit, that you inspire us with ideas and thoughts and dreams and visions of what could be, and that, God, you show us ways to add value to the lives of people here in Southeast Michigan and beyond. We want to be your body here. Give us the courage to do that, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.